Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of April 21st. American hawks are drinking vodka instead of wine and snacking on Polish sausage instead of freedom fries after the U.S. and Poland wrapped up the arms deal of the century last Friday. The multi-billion dollar arms and investment package is the largest weapons deal ever made between the U.S. and a former Soviet bloc nation. Poland has agreed to buy 48 of U.S. firm Lockheed Martin's F-16 fighter jets at a cost of $3.5 billion. To pay for the jets, the U.S. government is granting Poland a low-interest loan that will delay payments on the principal for 7 years. The U.S. and Poland have also negotiated a package of at least $6.3 billion worth of U.S. investments in Poland over the next decade. The investments will be brokered through U.S. corporations, including Halliburton, General Motors, Motorola, and weapons giants Pratt & Whitney and Northrop Grumman. According to U.S. Ambassador Christopher Hill, the package stands to double U.S. investment in Poland. Showing the true nature of international diplomacy, Polish and U.S. government officials were joined by Lockheed Martin corporate representatives to sign the three agreements in a southeastern Polish town called Dublin, where an airplane factory stands to gain the rewards of U.S. investment. In a telling phrase, Polish Prime Minister Leszek Miller announced, quote, "We are opening a new phase in Polish-American relations, not only in the political and the military sense, but also economic," end quote. The agreements come just 2 days after Poland signed a treaty to join the European Union next year. The U.S. deal has irked some European Union allies concerned that a prospective new member chose U.S.-built jets over competitive bids from France's Dassault Aviation and the British-Swedish consortium BAE Systems Saab. Other European firms complain that they have been left out of key investment deals by Poland, raising concerns that the country is more focused on improving ties with the U.S. than with its own European Union neighbors. French commentators have gone so far as to describe Poland as a Trojan horse for the U.S. and Europe, but the Polish government has made an effort to engage some European contractors. Last Tuesday, Polish defense officials signed a $1.2 billion deal for the delivery of Finnish-made troop carriers. Poland needs the planes and carriers to fulfill its obligations as a NATO member. Poland joined the North Atlantic Treaty Organization in 1999, along with Hungary and the Czech Republic. As part of the deal, the country must replace its outdated Soviet gear with more modern capitalist military equipment. Most analysts see the U.S. package as a reward for Poland's support of the war in Iraq. Apart from the F-16 jets, the U.S. government-funded Lockheed Martin contract will cover spare engines, missiles, and bombs, as well as training for Polish pilots. Delivery of the planes is scheduled to start in 2006. As part of the other U.S. investments associated with the deal, Polish plants will make engines and engine parts for Lockheed Martin and for Pratt & Whitney. General Motors will expand its plant in Poland, while Motorola will invest in updating the communication system of Polish public services. Other U.S. companies, including a subsidiary of Halliburton, will modernize a major refinery and collaborate with Polish pharmaceutical manufacturers. Also in Eastern Europe, the Russian government may have ended its decades-long opposition to privately developed oil pipeline projects. Last week, the government agreed to study a plan, backed by five of the country's largest private oil companies, to build a pipeline that would transform the Arctic port of Murmansk into a vast oil terminal delivering to the U.S. and Europe. The government currently controls all of Russia's oil pipelines through a state-owned monopoly called Transneft. Earlier this year, Prime Minister Mikhail Kasyanov asserted that all Russian pipelines, new or existing, would belong to the state. Last week's decision to look into the privately backed proposal suggests that the Russian government may be willing to sacrifice its pipeline monopoly if the private sector can boost Russian oil exports to lucrative Western markets, increasing revenue for state coffers. Proponents of the deal have promised that the pipeline would bring the government $40 billion in tax revenue over 10 years. Oil production by privately run Russian oil companies has grown steadily in recent years, while export capacity has remained limited by the state-owned transportation network. Russia produces 8.2 million barrels of crude per day and exports almost one quarter of this. Oil companies want to increase production to 10 million barrels per day over the next few years, boosting oil exports to 3 million barrels or more per day. Private oil companies want a pipeline that will allow them to deliver this extra oil abroad, particularly to oil-hungry markets in North America and Europe. In March, the state approved a plan by Transneft to quadruple capacity at the new Baltic port of Primorsk to 1.2 million barrels per day, but the oil companies say that this ice-prone port is not economical for shipping oil to the U.S. A port at Murmansk would allow oil to be shipped directly to North America. The planned pipeline would pump 50 million tons of oil each year from West Siberian oil fields to a terminal at the ice-free deepwater port, where it could be delivered by tanker to North America. The pipeline would cost $4 to $5 billion to build. The Russian government is still discussing whether state-owned Transneft or privately owned oil companies will run the project. And lastly, the cost of rebuilding Iraq is still being calculated, but most analysts are suggesting the U.S. plans will stuff about $10 billion into the coffers of American corporations. Though the U.S. government has already awarded more than $1 billion in contracts to reconstruct Iraq after the war, concerns over excessive liability risks have delayed at least one deal, the $600 million contract to rebuild Iraq's schools, roads, and hospitals. The U.S. government had hoped to award the contract last week. Two privately held U.S. firms, Bechtel Group and Parsons Corporation, are vying for the contract from the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. But they won't move in to begin reconstruction until the U.S. government can insure them against any possible risks. A panel of government experts has been called to review the U.S. federal law allowing agencies to indemnify or offer extra insurance to contractors in cases involving unusually hazardous risks. The panel is trying to determine whether the law would allow USAID to offer extra insurance or whether U.S. President Bush might have to issue another executive order like that issued to cover certain Homeland Security contracts granted after September 11, 2001. Industry sources say this kind of insurance is not generally offered to companies engaged in post-war reconstruction, but Bechtel and Parsons argue that they face unknown challenges in Iraq, including the possibility that they could stumble upon a cache of weapons of mass destruction. As part of separate $680 million contracts to rebuild power, water, and sewage systems in Iraq, President Bush has authorized USAID to protect Bechtel from having to pay any damages or claims that result from incidents involving chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear weapons, land or sea mines, or other explosive materials discovered in its work. This contract, awarded by USAID last Thursday, is the largest Iraqi reconstruction contract yet granted. Bechtel beat out rival Fluor Corporation to win the deal. Former U.S. Secretary of State George Shultz, a proponent of the war in Iraq and a member of Bechtel's board of directors, denied using his political connections to win work for Bechtel and pointed to the company's long history. Quote, "Over the 100-year period, there have been Republicans in office and Democrats," Shultz told Reuters last week. Over the 100-year period, Bechtel has also been one of the largest donors in the general contracting industry to both political parties. Some lawmakers are complaining that the U.S. government has awarded no-bid contracts in certain cases and selected winners for contracts where there has been competition through a closed-door process. Foreign companies complain that they cannot be prime contractors under USAID's Iraq program. In order to participate in reconstruction in Iraq, companies from outside the U.S. will have to negotiate subcontracts with corporations like Bechtel. Of 9 requests for initial reconstruction work in Iraq issued by USAID, 5 have been awarded so far. Aside from the massive Bechtel contract for power and water, the deals include a $62 million contract to Creative Associates International for upgrading schools, restocking classrooms with new American-friendly textbooks, and retraining teachers. The Washington, D.C.-based for-profit consulting firm has also worked with USAID to reform the education systems of post-war Afghanistan and Serbia. A $7.9 million contract to promote decentralized government has been awarded to the Research Triangle Institute, or RTI. This North Carolina-based company is a heady blend of pharmaceutical researcher, biotech developer, data collection agency, and right-wing think tank affiliated with Duke University. Since 1961, the company has used USAID funding to destabilize the central governments of developing nations, including Ghana, El Salvador, Haiti, Honduras, South Africa, Indonesia, Uganda, Ukraine, and Swaziland. At home, RTI projects currently include surveying homes in U.S. urban centers to discover which households have ever used marijuana, hashish, or cocaine, funneling this information to the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. RTI was awarded more than $54 million in U.S. government contracts in 2001. The company has international offices in Indonesia, the U.K., and South Africa, and most recently opened a subsidiary in, you guessed it, Poland. And that brings us full circle for this week's NTB's News Business Report. Signing off, this is NTB's News reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.